think and jump to the conclusion that this is for Mother's Day. This is actually for graduates, and you can accept that if you will. That's my gift to you. And please pray for camp. Pray for every week. Every week of camp is special, is important. However, if you're going to serve the Lord 1 week at camp, make that junior high week. Shameless plug for the week that I'm connected with. I hope you find a way to serve the Lord this summer. And if we can plug you into serving at camp in some way, we would love to do so. Continue to pray for Chris Berger, who's recovering from a broken hip. Some of you, most of you are probably familiar that last Wednesday, just as we were in the middle of the service, we got notification that she had fallen. By the time I got over to her home, the emergency vehicles were leaving, and I thought, I bet they just came from her house, not thinking that she was in one of those vehicles. And it was a break, and they were able to take care of that. And she is recovering. She had kind of a rough night last night, but continue to be in prayer for her. And then I just learned this morning that Lisa's mother, Dixie, wanted to be here today, but she also fell and hurt herself. And that's, we have to be careful with her because of back surgery. Not too long ago, was it about a year ago? They had the back surgery. So be in prayer for these things. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious God, save us, we pray, from making the wrong things our pursuit and our pleasure. We're told in the scriptures that we're your workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which you have prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Help us love you more and receive from your gracious hand all things, as we were just reminded, even the unpleasant and the unforeseen. We give thanks for your kindness to us in giving us mothers who have cared for us and have taught us. Their work is not glamorous. It is glorious. We pray for Chris Berger and for Dixie that you would protect and heal and strengthen and keep their eyes focused on you. Give them a strong testimony. We pray for those who are finishing high school or college. We put them in your purview here. We ask that you would give them holy desires, a holy passion for you. May your word liberate them from foolish and selfish thinking, which too many of the youth in our society are showing. We want to bring our desires in line with your will for us. And as we study your word this morning, give us patience and understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, please, back to Ecclesiastes and start in chapter 1. Most Mother's Day messages, and it's been a while since we've had a Mother's Day message. Again, if you were here last week, we decided to move my message that was would have come up this week, but we moved it back to next week, and that's a message on hell. And I don't apologize for that. I would ask that you would pray for that message, and that would be a good service to bring a lost person that you know. We're not going to try to be dramatic. We're not going to add to Scripture, but we're certainly not going to take away anything that God says. And we're going to look at a biblical view of hell. Most Mother's Day messages are either intended to encourage and thank mothers for what they have done, or instruction to mothers. And we're going to try to make this a combination of both. I'm very thankful for the mother that the Lord gave me and gave me to. I've actually watched over more years my wife as a mother, and I am thankful and amazed that instead of making our children feel like they're unimportant because ministry comes first, but at the same time there's a balance to make them have a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and service to him. I've always appreciated watching firsthand selfless devotion. There have been times where the next portion, which was really supposed to be hers, and hungry boys grabbed it up first, or she gave them the biggest piece, or a lot of ways that we show sacrifice, but we lift them up in prayer as well. You may have or have had godly parents. You may have had great examples, good instruction, but what we need is the wisdom of God to train up a child in the way that they should go. If we had Solomon here today and we said, come give us a word of wisdom to mothers and graduates. Interesting combination. The things that we're about to share from Ecclesiastes, just by the way, would probably also apply to non-graduates and seniors and everybody in between. But by application, we're going to drive this point home to those two groups. What would the wisest man who ever lived say? I'm sure it would be more substantive than a greeting card theology, okay? It would be something better than a list of 12 points to success as a mother. As I prepared this, I realized that these points really do apply to both of these groups and to all of us. Let's look first of all in Ecclesiastes 1. Let's read verse 8, and then I will share with you what goes in the blank in the bulletin. All things are full of weariness. Great Mother's Day text. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Live and love, aware of the weariness of it all. Some of you dragged your bones in here today saying, oh, I'm so tired. Some of you say, you know, it's not a physical fatigue I'm having. It's an emotional fatigue. I have been worn down spiritually. In every case, we're living in this world under the curse. A Bible study that I do at Paramount and Gables, I'm constantly saying, why do we have troubles in this world? And they look at each other, and it goes back to the curse. It goes back to the curse. I'm probably known as the curse preacher or something. But there are more and more people that are saying, you know, I choose not to marry, or I choose not to bring children in this world because there's so much uncertainty and there's so much anxiety in this world. And part of us can understand that. But the Lord never expects us to shield ourselves from any unpleasantness or problems, but that we go forward in every stage of life, in every opportunity that He opens before us, knowing that the Lord is in control, and we go with confidence knowing that God is greater. But what about God is greater? Aren't you aware that this could come up? But God is greater. Moms, graduates, your God is sufficient. Point A, hold fast to Christ in this turbulent life. Hold fast. Let Him be your anchor. Life is going to show you that you're not in charge. The Word of God is going to show you that Christ is always in charge. The Lord never throws His hands up and says, I didn't see that coming. He still quiets storms. Remember from when we were going through the Gospel of Mark, I think it's in chapter 4, where he's in the hold, he's in the bottom of the boat, and they have to wake him up. Carest thou not that we perish? And he stands up and he says, peace be still. And immediately the storms quieted down. We say, oh, I wish I could be there. You know, it's even more personal is when there's tumultuous times in your life. You're worked up about something. You don't know where that money's going to come from, where the answer's going to come from. And you say, and you bring it before the Lord and you say, the problem didn't go away, but the Lord gave me peace in the midst of the storm. He is sovereign over any illness that may come to your family. He is sovereign over your bank account. He is sovereign over your child, even in their rebellion. The Lord is over all. And I understand that a mother thinking about you, or a mother-to-be, has a little anxiety about childbirth and the pain involved there in raising children. I remember my own wife saying, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Well, you're 9 months pregnant. I think we better get ready soon. Okay. Genesis 3:16 says, here's what Eve was told. Here's the counsel that she got from God. I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desires, if that wasn't painful enough, your desire shall be contrary to your husband, and he shall rule over you. But I've also been there through labor and the pain. I tell people that, you know, when your wife holds your hand and you're working with her, remember their breathing things, or whatever it is, you know. And she starts going, and you see the graph going up, and she digs her fingernails into yours, and you start going. But you know, after the child is born and placed in her arms, a good bit of the memory of that pain is gone. That doesn't mean that problems are not ahead. While not a mother, Solomon gave advice to those who were living under the sun in verse 13 of our text. He says, and I applied my heart. I devoted. I had this disciplined pursuit. I devised to go after this. I decided to. I applied my heart to seek after, to search out by wisdom. And that wisdom a lot of times applies to, as we understand it in Proverbs, the wisdom of God. It could mean here, my own pursuit of my own intellect, all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given the children of man to be busy with. And you know what? It may seem cruel to those who don't understand to say, God has put us on this earth and we can't find a total happiness and satisfaction on our own pursuits. But as Augustine said, that God has made a God-shaped hole in our heart that only He can fill. Sometimes I read, as I'm going to bed, about accounts from different men that served in World War II and things that they experienced. I read recently of a man who heard a mortar hit in the foxhole very close to him, and he heard a noise, and he said, I'm filling it. I'm taking care of it. He scrambled over to see a guy with a large hole in his chest, grabbing everything he could, trying to stuff it in that hole, and he didn't make it. He said, I'm taking care of it. As I read that, I thought of Ecclesiastes. I thought of the hole created by the fall and people saying, I will take relationships. I will take things. I will take the next degree. I will do whatever. I'm in charge of it. And like Ecclesiastes, we learn it's frustrating. There's a weariness in it. And if you're a mom saying, well, thanks, Pastor. But you know, we're pointing out the reality, and the fact is that we hold fast to Christ in the disappointments of this turbulent life. Even a loving husband, a supportive husband, is not enough. Christ is enough. A husband can't always make sense when things don't make sense. Let Jesus be Lord. Stand in the confidence and the assurance and the word that He gives. Secondly, point B, share devotion to Christ in the disappointments of life. The godliest of mothers is not one who can get up and preach a sermon to their kids, but one who says, I understand that that's a disappointment. I'm sorry that boyfriend did this to you. I'm sorry that you got this grade. I'm sorry. But you know what? The Lord's in control. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you have been probably given some beautiful babies, moms that are rotten sinners. Okay? Now, nobody wrote that down. I saw that. But don't be surprised. Don't be act bitter when they show that same enslavement to sin. Use the trials that come in your life to share Christ, to point to the goodness of God. Turn to chapter 1, verse 4. A generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Some of you are very good multitaskers. I've seen my wife cooking, have a baby on the hip, and talking on the phone all at the same time. That is four things more than I can do at one time. You might be a good multitasker, but some of you say, you know what I wasn't prepared for is finishing up raising my children and also now having to take care of my parents. The Lord is sufficient. Even when one generation is passing it away and another one is coming, and we look at our own generation, some of us are saying, you know, boy, my days, we have an opportunity to share Christ, to point to Christ, not build our own legacy. If you are a mother, be an example of godliness under all types of conditions. If you are a wife, you are to, Titus 2:7 says, show yourself in all respects to be a model. Thank you for the models in our church. A model of good works and of your in your teaching, show integrity and dignity and sound speech. If you are a graduate, shine light in a dark world. See, I want to go out there and make money. I want to be a success. Being a success is let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Secondly, walk by faith and in joy that nothing can take away. Pastor, have you not been paying attention to the news about the economy? You know what? It might get worse. I heard a message years ago when I was still in graduate school. I don't even know what minor prophet the guy was preaching from, but he preached, cheer up, it's bound to get worse. I don't remember the guy's name. I remember the church, and I remember the title of the message. It may get worse, but still, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Our joy is not dependent on our happiness. These things are not dependent on ideal conditions. We say, even in adverse conditions, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear. I thought about singing that to you. I decided it would be better if I just quoted those words to you. But listen, when he says in chapter 3 and verse 12, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. A couple thoughts here. Point A, faith in God who made all things and controls all things. We're only here for a little while, aren't we? We are but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We are not even meant to figure it all out. And we read the frustration of somebody as wise as Solomon, as rich as Solomon, with as much position as Solomon. He says, I applied myself. And there are things that frustrated him. You say, it doesn't frustrate me. He says, you know, the sun goes up and down. It doesn't need me. The tides go in and out. They don't need me. I can't figure it out. I'm not in control of it. He's just giving us poetically examples of a lot of things in his life that he says, people come to me, Solomon, decide this, give us wisdom on that, make a decision. He says, I'm not in control. And the Lord has made that quite clear to me. Let's read chapter 7 and verse 14 together. In the day of prosperity, on a good day, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider that God has made the one as well as the other. I shared that verse with Chris Berger minutes before she went into surgery. The Lord gives us good days and bad. We're not meant to figure it all out. What we are meant to do, what we are called to do, is accept with grace all that he gives. A good verse to put in the margin of your Bible that by that is from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. Solomon struggled. It seems like it's empty. It seems like it's to no purpose. It comes again. And the things that you save up are spent by somebody who doesn't appreciate it, never worked for it. A lot of these things, like Pastor Smith said, in life and the frustrations that you've at times had, you can say, I see in Ecclesiastes. I'm not the first one to feel this way. Not all you do, graduate, will be exciting or even fulfilling. I read this week, somebody put it this way. The menial becomes meaningful when God crowns it with purpose and pleasure. So if you say, you know what? I got to make every day as exciting as this last day. And you go out and try to make your life fulfilling. You're repeating the pattern that Solomon said, don't walk this way. Take my word for it. You can surround yourself with singers and other people and with all the pleasures in the world. He said, I had surround sound in my home. I had singers all around me. Check that off. It didn't bring pleasure. Faith in God who made and controls all things. And notice, secondly, joy in God who delights in your delighting. He delights in your delighting. When we say, Lord, thank you for this spouse. Lord, thank you for this meal. Lord, thank you for this trial. Thank you for whatever. I delight in these things that you have given. I was thinking this week that a theme of rock music in the past, I'm assuming today too, is a lot of times been the absence of satisfaction and the pursuit of pleasure in the wrong things. When they sing those words, they're just telling out their own experience. They don't have the answer. They see the problem at times, but they don't have the answer. And to indulge in what our flesh thinks it wants is only to add to the frustration. Satan promises what he does not deliver. And so when somebody says, well, you know, if I tried this drug, if I pursued after, I know I'm not supposed to, that would be an unequal yoke, but I'm going to go after that person anyway. Whatever we do, it only adds to the problem. Only Christ can provide true joy, now and forever. There, for the believer, is lasting joy today and eternal joy that we will enjoy in heaven. I'm looking forward to both. Revelation 22:17 says, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires the water of life receive without price. You've heard or probably read, "No God, no peace," and "Oh God, no God, then no peace." And then it turns and it says, K-N-O-W, "No God, no peace." Chapter 5, verse 18, that we read, "In all the toil, in all of which one toils under the sun, God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone to whom God has given wealth and possessions." You know, we can, we should enjoy what God has given. We should pursue after a contentment that says, "Lord, thank you for this," instead of, "Lord, I need that." When he goes on to say, "Everyone whom God has given wealth and possessions, it's a gift of God." In verse 19 says, "Rejoice in his toil." This is the gift of God. We've all known somebody, and it might be the person in the mirror, but we've all known somebody that just seemed like whatever job they had, I just need another job. This car, I need another car. This person, I need another person. The joy is not found. The hole that the fall created in our heart is not filled by someone or something. It is Christ alone. Thirdly, keep the fear of God behind all that you do. You didn't think of that, did you? Let's look at chapter 12 and make some comments here before we close. The fear of God. There's the precious little preaching. It's offensive. People say, "Well, let's talk about the love of God. Don't talk to me about the fear of God," because they neither understand it or want it. You have children or grandchildren, possibly, that, and they need help. You know, they're programmed by birth and by the fall to want and demand things. And it will never be enough. "I want that toy. I want what you have. Mom, I want what everybody else in my class has. I want. And graduate, you will fight that as well. The quest for things, the quest for respect, it never stops. And Ecclesiastes Kohelet, or the preacher, or Solomon, understands this. He says in chapter 12, let's start off in verse 13. "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether good or evil." We were made by God to love God, to serve God, and the default setting in us since the fall is, I want everybody to serve me. I have needs here. I want. And all who remove God from the equation are thrust into this meaningless, hopeless condition. They will remain that way. Only when a person by faith says, "I put my faith in Jesus Christ." I heard an amazing testimony this week by a football player, by an Ohio State present player, running back, who gave a tremendous testimony. Travion Henderson gave a tremendous testimony. He said it was all about football. It was all about me. You know, since I put my faith in Christ, I'm a disciple of his. This is not important to me. Being a servant of his, proclaiming him. And he gave the plan of salvation. He talked about the gospel. And praise God. I wrote him and let him know that I was praying for him. But there are a number of people that say, "It's about me." It's refreshing when somebody says, "It's about Christ. He is at the center of all things." There will be adversity. There will be The conclusion is vanity, chapter 1, verse 2, chapter 12, verse 8. And these things that are frustrating in life, instead of saying it used as an excuse, that's why I don't love God anymore. That's why I don't trust God anymore. You just made yourself God. But when we say, even through this, I'm using this to drive me to Him. It's refreshing when somebody who I pray with or meet with and they're having trouble and they say, and I hear them pray, and they pray instead of, Lord, remove this, Lord, give me grace in this. I think it was D.L. Moody who said, we don't need God to remove all our problems. We need God to give us stronger shoulders to carry the problems He's given us. I would say to that, we need to trust God and the strength that He provides and pray right. Mothers, graduates, and everybody within earshot, we need to make sure that we fear God and understand what that means. So let's ask, what does it mean to fear God, really? It's a very simple but profound truth that Solomon says in chapter 5, verse 2. He says, God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Put in Paul Hamilton paraphrase, God is God and you are not. God's in heaven, you aren't. It's a simple truth that we should walk humbly before our God. Every thought, every word, every deed should be in recognition of Him. The day should start, God, thank you for the rest. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this strength. Instead of, I wish I had. It all begins, go back to chapter 12, verse 1, here. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember. Think seriously about. Think seriously about who is your Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Colossians chapter 1, we are reminded that Christ is the one who brings things into existence and upholds all things by the word of His power. It continues. It starts with remember your Creator. It ends with fear God. This is the end of the matter. This is keep the commandments. So graduates, I would encourage you, keep Christ in all that you do. Don't seek purpose or fulfillment in anything outside of Christ. The sin in the garden became the curse in the world. I can only imagine what it was like for Adam and Eve. One day they were walking with God. Everything, there was joy. There was no frustration. They had it all. And then by sin, they are kicked out. There's a cherubim with a flaming sword. Make sure that they got the point, that they were not to come back. And now they have thorns and thistles and frustration. And Eve's under the submission, under the rule of her husband, and it's not always pleasant. Where there was order and joy, there came frustration and loss and true salvation. True fulfillment only comes when we put our hope and trust in the Prince of Peace, the captain of our salvation. Mothers and grandmothers, can I be very honest with you that you do your children a great disservice when you make them the center of your existence? When you make them an idol, you stop pointing them to Christ. When your child or grandchild can do no wrong, you're doing them a disservice. You rob them of an eternal focus. What is fear of God? I'll give you a couple quick statements. Fear of God is trust that obeys. So a person who says, well, I believe in God, I just don't obey God. You don't really worship God. You don't really believe God. You don't really fear God, because fear is a trust that obeys. Another thing that I would say about this fear of God is it is a fear that is lived, not just learned. It's not just a head knowledge. It's not academic or even theological, what the fear of God means. It is lived out. It acts in accordance with God's character. My God is just. My God is right. My God is holy. My God is judge. And I live in recognition of all these things. Not just God is love and I can do whatever I want. No, God is holy and I'm to be holy for he is holy. I'll close with this. What does it look like to fear God daily? What does this look like in our life? There is someone who is greater than David and wiser than Solomon. And in our text in chapter 12, when it says, backing up to verse 11, the words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd, and that's capitalized, and some people have, oh, it can't be talking about the Lord. It can't be a reference or a picture of Christ. He says, my son, beware of anything beyond these, of making many books there is no end. Do I hear an amen, graduates? And of much study there is weariness of the flesh. Do I hear an amen, students? Yeah. You know what, young people? We don't want you to look back on your life with regret or frustration. Some of these things that Solomon talks about in chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 9, about in my toil, I wonder, was it really worth it? Why am I doing this? Why did I save this up? Why did I build this empire? A wrong application of your energies and of your affections will bring a dark pessimism rather than a true satisfaction. If you trust Christ, live for him, obey him, love him. So then it all makes sense and I won't have any problems? Oh, I'm certainly not saying that. But there's a fulfillment that comes in chapter 1, verse 11. We won't go back that there, but the whole idea of am I going to be remembered by after this generation? Probably not. Or for too many generations. Somebody might visit your gravestone for a time or two. They might remember you on your passing for a few more years. Your grandkids, somebody might weep over you. Eventually, we can go over to Pioneer Cemetery. I can show you gravestones that are leaning at a 30-degree angle and say, anybody know who this person was? Well, Pastor, I can't even read the name on that stone anymore. Here's my point. Only what's done for Christ will last. We are not here to be remembered. We are here to point to Christ. The goads, the nails, the words of Christ, the instruction, the wisdom of God are to be those things that prod us into action and nail down our faith. So moms and grandmas, say, what about dads? That's the message on hell later. No, no. Moms and grandmas, you say, you want a lasting legacy? You want to make a difference? Point to Christ. Pass along truth. Teach others the word of God and live it out faithfully. Hey, graduates, you want to live successfully? You want to live joyfully? Then follow the instruction of the one shepherd. Live for the glory of God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask our elders. I've talked to them about this. We don't do this every week, but I'm going to ask them to come line up here if they would. And one by one, they are going to pray. Some of them are going to pray these principles and pray this for our mothers, and some of them are going to pray for our graduates. We're praying for the whole flock. Men, come if you would. Tim O'Brien, I'll ask you to lead it, start us off. And Bob Allen, if you'll be the one that closes.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our time together here this morning. And as we consider our mothers, we thank you for them, and we thank you and praise you for your wisdom to establish the family as you have. And Lord, we do ask that our mothers would take these words from Ecclesiastes to heart, that they would truly desire to draw near to you, to recognize the priority of their own relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, that their faith and joy would be in him. Father, make them dependent upon your word. We pray that they would, again, just draw near to you daily and see their need to have their own hearts and minds renewed and stirred and focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon your eternal truths. Father, give them wisdom in their role as mothers, and those who are in that role of motherhood, we pray that you would give them strength and give them wisdom from your word. Help them to be women who pray. We ask that they would not only care for the dangers of germs and the dangers of bruises and things of that nature, but Father, help them to see the danger of evil and of sin, even as Pastor has brought out that we're all of us, according to your word, are born into this, and we pray, Father, that you might make them women of prayer, and that they would seek your throne of grace for their children and for their salvation, for their devotion unto you. And Father, we ask that you would bless this this day and this time of prayer, and we ask that you'd strengthen our mothers and encourage their hearts today and help them, Lord, each day. Give them daily grace in this role, this very important role that you've established. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for the word today that we've heard, reflecting all parts of our lives to be emphasizing and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray to that end that for each one of us, as we think of our graduates, we're reminded of the stages of life, and the stage of graduation is one of looking forward with eager anticipation. Yeah, Lord, as we do this, we pray that we might think of you in every part, and each one of us this affects because of the requirement and the need to put Christ first and foremost in every part of our lives. And we ask that you would help these graduates as they move on into life to just honor you on a daily basis. Help us to each honor you in a special way so that the love that you have shown for us through sending your only son to die for us would be manifest and would be testified to the world. And we pray to that end in Jesus' name.
Let's pray. Dear God, let's pray that our children would be strong, courageous, our students, believing that you have called them and always are with them. We ask that they would be bold to stand for what is right, which is really hard to do nowadays, even if it means standing alone. Please equip them for every purpose and journey you have in store for them, so that they would live as mighty warriors in this life for your purpose, Lord. We pray that when they encounter, and they will, various struggles and difficult times, when they experience loss, like the pastor mentioned, and things don't go their way, that you would teach them greater perseverance through it all, that you would build deeper character instead. We ask that you give them boldness and courage to face every challenge set before them with the confidence and peace that can only come from your Spirit, Lord. Raise up a greatness within their lives, Lord. Let them be the ones to reach out. Start a revival. You know, increase missionaries throughout the world. Just help them to be great within their generation for you, Lord. May they be willing to stand strong and true and be passionate for you, Lord. Sometimes, you know, we know all the Bible terminology and everything else, but we're not passionate, Lord, you know, for what you've done for us in our lives. Believing you have designed them for a purpose, and you've designed us all for a purpose and good works. But let the graduates which you have done for them for their purpose and the good works which you have planned and prepared in advance for them to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we do rejoice this morning with these young men and women who have graduated. Father, we thank you for each one of them. And as we have watched them grow over the years, we know that they have been taught well the things of your word. And we pray, Lord, that these will be the foundation of their lives. That they will have faith and trust in you, and that they will be guided by your word, by your wisdom, in all the things that they do in the life that you've given them. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being a part of their lives and watching them grow and watching them learn. And none of us can say that we know how you will use what we have learned, but we do know that you will use us for your honor and your glory as we submit ourselves to you. And so, Lord, we pray for these young men and these young women who go out into the world or go on to further education, that you will guide them. We pray, Father, that they will trust in you and not lean on their own understanding, but in all their ways seek to know and to do that which you have called them to do. And Father, we know that you will direct their path, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to celebrate this time with our graduates. And we pray, Lord, that they will go out into whatever calling you have given them and honor you throughout their lives in every way that they can. And now, Lord, we thank you for this day that we also celebrate our mothers. And we rejoice in godly moms. And so, Lord, we pray as we go through this day that we will have a time of remembrance of what our moms have done for us and give honor to them as well. We pray your blessing upon this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.